This morning's message has all to do with the call of God on our lives. And I was thinking of this as I put this back on the font. The dove coming down when Jesus was baptized is a reminder of how God's presence is with us. God is watching over us. And the promise of God's covenant is thoroughly mentioned in his word, and we see it so clearly in the text for today. If you're in the backside of your message outline, you'll see the scripture from the book of Jeremiah, who wrote about the everlasting covenant in his message. And it is in his call to be a follower, God's follower, to be a prophet. God spoke through prophets, priests, and kings in the Old Testament. That is what we know. That was God's plan. He chose that. In the New Covenant, he chose all of us. Do you know that? He sent his Spirit to all of us in order to communicate his message. So the calling of Jeremiah is clearly also a calling for us today. This is in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. The Lord gave me this message. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. O sovereign Lord, I said, I can't speak for you. I'm too young. The Lord replied, don't say I'm too young, for you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I will tell you. And don't be afraid of the people, for I will be with you and protect you. Do you know that Jesus actually quoted this? This is an interesting part. The New Testament writers picked this up, and it's in the Gospels. I will be with you. I will be with you. I, the Lord, have spoken. Then the Lord reached out and touched my mouth and said, look, I have put my words in your mouth. Today I appoint you to stand up against the nations and kingdoms. Some of you must uproot and tear down, destroy and overthrow. Others you must build up and plant. The prophets had a tough calling. That calling was never simple. In fact, Jeremiah's was just as complicated as many others, and we see that contextually, and we will see in the message today that he had incredible, incredible faith in the opportunity to follow God. It is unshakable. In John chapter 16, we read these words as kind of a theme for this summer's message as we look back at the Old Testament prophets, tying it into the new. I've told you this so that in trusting me, so when we trust God, you will be unshakable and deeply at peace. John always talked about peace that comes from God, and we see it here mentioned. I saw a story this week that was inspirational, so I thought I'd share it with you. At least it was inspirational to me. It was the name of a football player named Marquise Goodwin, who plays for the 49ers. He got blessed with a brand new contract, and with that money from the new contract, he decided to bless the family that he grew up in. You can see in the picture, there's a picture of his with his mother and his sister, who obviously has cerebral palsy and has been an inspiration. He calls her his inspiration for life. And because of who they are and what they were, what his mother sacrificed, he chose to take funds and buy them a house. And this is what he did. He brought them up blindfolded, and then the untied, if you can look it up, I think it's on Instagram or whatever you look for things on the internet, you'll do better than me at finding it. But it's there. And it's amazing. The response of a family that cares and wants to make a difference in this world. You know, and the story of this young man is that he and his wife lost their firstborn last year. But he actually, if you dig deeper in the story, has a faith and trust in Christ. That's why I'm sharing the story. There is power in trusting in God in moments that we think that the world has shook everything up. And it is in that power, the power of God, that we trust and that we can give blessings to others. If God so enables us, we can share those. And that's a great inspirational story of saying, I'm going to bless those who've inspired me. And really, that's what we do in the church. You know, when we baptize a new young person in the covenant of faith, we are promising as the faith sharers along the way that we're going to be there. That God is going to use us in ways to inspire them to faith, always to faith. And Jeremiah had the same calling. The Lord replied, don't say I'm too young. Right now, that baby Lila has just inspired your faith. And you know what? It's just begun. The opportunity is just going to, and Brendan Stacy get to do this full time. We don't get to turn them back, do we? Doesn't happen that way. We get to bless. And what's great about this is that Jeremiah made the human response at this point. What did he respond when God told him, you know, we have these great illustrations in the Old Testament of characters who I like to call them, you know, they just have a way of saying, you know, like, no-go Mo. I mean, Moses said, I don't want to go, right? So we just get these little statements in our minds. There are people that don't want to go. Jeremiah didn't want to go. Jonah didn't want to go. Daniel didn't even have a choice. We talked about that last week. He got shipped. But they stayed on message with what God had asked them to do. We see it here. For you must go where I send you and say whatever I tell you. And don't be afraid of the people. You know, we all, if we're honest, are afraid of the people. We just should join up with Jeremiah right here and just say, we're a part of that, okay? For I will be with you. And I will protect you. I told you earlier that that's what Jesus actually reminded it. In the New Testament, we see that. And then here's the word that comes from God. I, the Lord, have spoken. In other words, when God gave his word, that's his covenant. Later on in Jeremiah, if you want to see that, you'll see his everlasting covenant. That covenant that is so rich. Because why? It's God's promise. It's God's promise to his people. I will be with you. I will give you myself. Now, we saw last week that Daniel made a decision he resolved that was deep within his core for Daniel. We saw the week previously that Isaiah had a calling that God was with him in that. So all three of our prophets this summer have revealed to us incredible response to God's message to just follow. Daniel made that decision. So my suggestion today is to turn to the wisdom book. It's the book of Proverbs. Solomon gave those to us. You know, Solomon asked for a double blessing, right? The double blessing of wisdom. And God blessed Solomon with that. So we have to make a decision to be a lifelong learner. We're never quite done. And as one old wise person said to me once, you know, a proverb a day will keep the devil away. You know, there is that context where if we actually apply the wisdom, if we apply it, then God will provide for us. But the question is, do we do that? In the message, in the very first proverb, in verse 7, we see this. Start with who? God. I like the message here. It just sort of directly hits it. Start with God. The first step in learning is bowing down to God. Only fools thumb their noses at such wisdom and learning. That is the wisdom of God's word. It is with us. And if we're lifelong learners, we are part of that. Now, these fellows are birds. You can see them. They're not just fellows. They're ladies, too, I'm sure, in the story. But I wanted you to see a one-minute clip of Rio 2 because often God sends even birds to us to get us to notice something. Just as God sent prophets with his word to get our attention. So in this video, I want you to see how this bird desperately wanted to get the attention of those that were actually supposed to be paying attention, but they missed the message. Let's see it, and then I'll follow up with that.
We're near the nesting grounds of the Amazonian wood quail. 6 months ago, we rescued this little bird from smugglers. But now, my trusty assistant, I mean, loving wife and colleague, will release her back to her natural habitat.
It's okay. You can go now. Just like this.
Let me talk to you.
Go on. Welcome home. Wait a minute. What? I think she's trying to warn us.
Oh, no, 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 Nina.
Tulio, look!
I told you it was short. You'd miss it. The bird was trying to get their attention, that they're going to go over the falls. Does that remind you of a prophet who's just trying to get our attention? Or get enough of our attention to say, listen, if you keep going the way you're going, you're not going to end up where you want to end up, just as these explorers who thought they were doing something good weren't paying attention to the obvious. The obvious is that God sends messengers, maybe like these little birds in Rio, to help us. To help us see what? To see that when we get wisdom, we can do ourselves a favor, according to the proverb here, and those who love learning will succeed. In other words, if we love to learn, we will find out that God's word doesn't return void. That if we truly trust the word, that if we're willing to apply it, and that's going to be really the focus of what I want you to think about today, if we really apply it, then we will have success. Because trusting God's word is, as we go back to the passage there in the longest psalm, Psalm 119, the reason that it's the longest psalm is that it's set to all 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, where the psalmist was writing prayers on each and every letter. That was the introduction. And over again, he said, this is the reason. And we get to verse 105, your word is a lamp. It is the one way that we can know we're on the right path, right? Psalm 103, leading up to it, how sweet your words taste to me. They are sweeter than honey. Your commandments give me understanding. No wonder I hate every false way of life. In other words, saying, I'm going to reject all of the worldly ways. You know, Isaiah, Daniel, and now Jeremiah is saying, don't listen to all those words out there because they're going to lead you astray. No, trust in me. He said, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. My feet, all of us who've fallen on a path know what happens. If you trip over something, you need more light. God said, I'll provide you light. That's what his word is. My word is a light, a lamp. It will show me the right way to go if I trust in him. And that's a great promise. Now, it's not just a matter of saying, okay, I know this. It's a matter of I apply this. Did you know there's a difference? You can know a lot about a subject, but unless you apply it, it won't matter. You see, knowledge and wisdom, as I've come to understand it, at least from the biblical understanding as the Proverbs were being written by Solomon, knowledge is gained from education experience. In fact, if you read through the Proverbs, you'll see over and over again, he says, get education, learn all you can, be a lifelong learner. That's what the book of Proverbs is all about. And then he says, knowledge is a good thing. But wisdom actually gives us something better. Now, when Daniel was prophesying to the Babylonians, he was learning a great deal. The Babylonian Empire had a great, I don't know if you knew this, I didn't know this about the Babylonian Empire, but it had a great influence in our culture today. Did you know they discovered the planet Jupiter before there was a telescope? They found it. Because they loved the study of the stars. Some of us love astronomy. But because their love for astronomy was so great, they also had a love for the other part, the astrology. There's a difference, right? Babylonians also loved astrology, and they always ascribed with magic formulas and looking forward and saying, this is, trust in this. In fact, the Babylonians thought that the number 60 was a magic number. That's why they divided the hour in our watch into 60 parts, and today we still use it. I didn't know that. Babylonians have had an incredible influence in our culture. In fact, the use of 360 degrees in a circle, it's a root of 60. And that's how they came to understand mathematics and other things. Amazing amount of knowledge. You know, we don't get rid of all that. That's silly. But we are aware. Daniel was aware that the influence of the king and his teaching and their focus, all the soothsayers and all of the wise people couldn't give Nebuchadnezzar the wise dreams, but God used Daniel at that moment for the vision. The vision, the word of God for the people. Fascinating. Fascinating opportunity. And so we can ascribe and know a lot, but yet knowing it and understanding and trusting in God with biblical, God-fearing wisdom is different. Voltaire was lived about 1700, and he was a skeptic. And he made this incredible statement in the 1700s. Came out. You see it there on the screen. In 100 years from today, the Bible will be a buried book. And you know what? Voltaire actually was a prophet in his day because he began what we now call the Enlightenment. And now we're in postmodernism where we don't believe anything in the Bible is true. We have to kind of think, well, that's not that important. But yet, let me just say, Jesus had something to say to that. He just said, I am the way, because I'm fulfilling the law of the prophets, the covenant of God that I will come and be with you. I will remove the rituals. I will move all that and just say, having a relationship with me is all important. It is the most important part of understanding God's word. And we don't have anything to fear from all those who are extremely bright. In fact, we ought to know what they're saying. We ought to know. We ought to have our kids learn about some of this information because that is going to equip them to be able to respond with not just faith, but with a responsive information on how to deal with that. In fact, Galileo, Copernicus, Kepler, Da Vinci, all those scientists, artists, but they had a faith interest. Their interest was in actually saying, I have a faith and trust in God. That's why we're studying God's creation. And God's creation can lead us into an understanding of who God is, but not totally. We have to trust God's word. God's word to give us information that we would be able to stand up against this world. So wisdom, then, in my response to knowledge, is that you can have degrees. I've got advanced degrees, but if I don't apply it, it's worthless. Understanding from what? God's point of view. That's what wisdom is. Wisdom is far different. And the wisdom, at least the wisdom of trusting in God's word is saying, I'm going to trust this from God's point of view, but then it's actually applied. All of us have met people who have advanced degrees, probably, and think, I don't know if they know any common sense at all. You ever met anybody like that? Wow, that person's really smart. They got all of this, but they really don't know any much about how to apply just common sense logic to life. They struggle in those areas. And the challenge is, what do we trust in? I would suggest to you this morning that wisdom that comes from God will give us an understanding if we look at it from God's viewpoint and saying, why did he do that? Why did he send the prophets? He sent them to share the message, to say, stay connected. And in fact, we point to it to say that he was setting up the new covenant. The new covenant would be that he would have the body of Christ, the church. Now, I would venture to say that some people think the church is perfect. It is not. We want to know why the church is not perfect? Because it's led by imperfect people. There's no way. It is not possible for the church to be perfect because it's got imperfect people in it. It's got imperfect leaders in it. But if they trust in God's wisdom, they're looking for the truth. And we're looking for reformation and understanding and saying, I want to see things from God's point of view. And so we struggle and we end up bouncing up against the walls of this world and saying, you know what? We need to right set this. We need to trust God. What is his word for us today? What can we do? 1 Peter responds in this way, and I think it's the great message of how do we apply wisdom. It is God's will that you live such a good life, that it silences those who foolishly condemn the gospel without knowing what it can do for them. In other words, we're the messengers. That's why I always got back to it when I made that point earlier this morning in the message, just saying God calls all of us. That's the difference of the new covenant. God said, I'm going to send my spirit on all people. We see it in the book of Acts as a response to the prophet Joel, when Joel said, I will pour my spirit out on all people, men and women. He was very clear in that prophecy. And it happens that God made that call. It said, I want you to live such a good life, an abundant life. Jesus actually spoke to that in John 10:10. I give you this life, a life worth living, a life that is, it will silence those who condemn the gospel without knowing it. And there are those who want to say that we don't know the truth. Well, there is only one truth. It is actually the words of Jesus who said, I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. That Jesus was the one who said that. Now, let me illustrate it this morning by just saying culturally we are aware of, and I may be off in the numbers today, and I apologize, but I just want to use it as an overall illustration of people groups in the world. I will say that in the world, there's not much focus on religions, but actually people are born into many different religions. So there's 15 million we can track Jewish people in the world. It's hard to believe that, as they've had such an impact in our world when you think about it. Half of them live in the country of Israel, half live in the United States, and another bunch are actually scattered throughout the world. So there's 15 million of them. And I'm just making broad general strokes here, so I want you to see this. There's 600 million Buddhists who live in the countries that focus on that, and they're born into those families. And my point here is this, is that they're not all practicing, but that's the culture that they're born into. Because when you see that the bottom of this, there's 800 million Hindus in countries that practice that faith. And then there's a billion and a half Islamic Muslim people. And then there's 2.3 billion Christians. One out of every three people in the world are born into a community or a Christian or a country. But my question to you this morning isn't so much that all of the folks who are in that those categories. My question is, how many of them actually practice? Because I'm only going to speak to those that are Christians this morning. Of the 2.3 billion followers of Jesus in this that may claim that, how many actually are a part of a community, a body, the body of Christ? You see, that's the compelling part of it. It isn't that we have one out of three, but how effective are we? Whether it's Hindus, Buddhists, which all those faiths point to how good I could become to get God's attention. There's only one faith, the Christian faith, that points back and says, God, through Jesus, made it possible. He did it for us. There's nothing that we have to do. The other faiths all are based on works. But here in the Christian faith, we see that we follow Jesus. And we trust in him. And we trust that in the promise that he gave us, Jesus said, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you. Because we're going to face that. People make fun of us. You're not very smart. You can't believe in that. But then you come back and you look at the truth and say, but do you know Jesus? Do you know who Jesus is? Did you know that he has something in your life that he wants to do? He wants to meet you where you are. He wants to take your life and use it for his purpose. In our application this morning, I just simply want to remind you that it is God's word that builds up. That is true of the old covenant, God's message, prophets, priests, and kings, he used that. And now we see that he wants to do it in the new covenant by building us up. When we take God's word and we apply it, because that's what wisdom is, applied learning, we need to have a place in which to do that. And God's promise was, I will do that in the body of Christ. The body of Christ, which is his truth, whether it's groups. You know, Jesus started the first small group, his disciples. He only called 12. You know, it's always interesting to look at Jesus' life and just say, he didn't create an institution. That was human form. That was all the followers afterwards created these institutional things. Jesus never said, go start an institution and remember me. He didn't say that. He just said, practice what I've given to you. I'll leave you two sacraments, the Lord's Supper so that you can learn about forgiveness. And then come to me in baptism and set yourself apart and say, let the water be the memory tool, the water that rushes over us, that washes us clean and says to the world, I'm different now because of what Jesus has done. Just as Jesus entered the waters of baptism with John the Baptist, who was a reluctant follower at that point. I don't want to do this. But Jesus said, no, I want you to do this. And John the Baptist baptized Jesus at that moment, symbolizing that part. And then the new covenant community who's called out and said, I want to apply God's wisdom and truth. What is wisdom and truth if it's not applied learning, where I learn about it in a group and say, this is what I've learned. I can encourage someone else. Use God's wisdom to build up. And then we close with these words of Jesus there on the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is teaching his disciples, his closest followers, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Our reward comes in heaven, no doubt. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. We will be persecuted. There's no getting around it. We will be persecuted for what we believe, but we have to stand for what we believe. We have praise songs that remind us to stand for what we believe. What do we believe? We believe that God set us apart for his purpose, to share his love and his justice, to say, this is the way. This is Jesus. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And there's no other way but through me. Just said, I'm the way. Follow me. Followers of Jesus practice and implement God's wisdom on a day-by-day purpose, letting God's word lead, because I don't know enough without going back to his word, saying, this is it. This is what gives me truth. Truth. The truth that Jesus set me free to truly live. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the application of your word in our lives. And Lord, we just want people to understand the truth of your word. That it's not about us. It's not about what we do. It's about what you're doing through us. It's about your word being revealed through our actions. And Lord, I pray that as your followers, we can all learn how to follow you and model your way of life so that people can see the wisdom of truth applied. So let us apply your wisdom and truth as we live as your disciples in these days. We're not perfect, but you love us, and you call us, and you use us for your purpose, because you've never leave us. You always protect us, and you always give us your spirit in those moments so that we are unshakable. Thank you for that promise, Lord. Be with us each step of the way. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.